Now, the next great stage in this development, it's a little bit pretense of me to go through this in 1 hour, but since you all know all these stories, I'm simply trying to relate them to each other. The next great development comes about the time of the 2nd century BC. The Greeks have invaded the Near East. The idea of universal man comes in with the Hellenistic period. And there comes into Judaism a very strong influence from Persia. And the juncture of these two ideas, the idea that the Hebrew nation will be restored when it is worshipful properly, and the idea that there will come an end of the world when all will be good, what one may call the political and the cosmological idea of the Messiah. These came together, and they developed in Judaism a wonderful apocalyptic period, a period of brilliant poetic power and religious depth and expectation. We have recently found the most wonderful evidence from this period, namely the material of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The scrolls themselves, in comparison with the great biblical texts, are rather dry. But it's from these that we get a sense of the living sense of certain people. And their sense was, this is it. This now is the period of the Messianic age. This is the period of the end of the world, the day of Yahweh, and all of that. And this little community on the Dead Sea, preparing themselves like good soldiers for the great day when they shall serve the Lord by representing righteousness in the calamity of the upheaval that's to come. It is out of this moment, this notion of apocalyptic imminence, that Christianity emerged. Christ himself, if we read the Gospels in relation to the Dead Sea Scrolls, is speaking this same language. John the Baptist was baptizing about 15 miles from the Dead Sea Scroll monastery. He was not a member of that Essene community. He didn't wear the same kind of clothes. He didn't eat the same kind of food. But he was in the atmosphere of this apocalyptic moment. And the Christian community developed from the idea the Messiah has come. This is the Messianic age now. We have moved now into a new kind of society, the society that feels that it is not looking forward to fulfillment, but this is it. Of course, the second and third generation of Christians had the problem of, it doesn't look as though it were it at all. The world is just as much a mess as it ever was. In fact, it was getting worse. And the notion was that the perfect age has begun with us, and it must now spread out from here. This is the theme of Augustine's City of God. The city of man, Rome, has fallen, but the city of God has been established. And again, you have the idea that it is our law, our city, that is for all mankind, not just for our people. It is our law, our city, that is the true city, and the world of mere nature worshippers is to be spurned. Now we come to a very interesting problem. It's one that lives with us today. Can man find nature in himself and God in himself at the same time? Or must he link himself to a divine community? In Islam, a vivid, wonderful religious awakening in the 7th century, this problem became very acute. The notion in Islam was that Islamic law was the law of God, and all must live by that law. But Islam covered a part of the world that was full of mystical traditions. Persia went into India, North Africa, and Syria. And mystical traditions grew up in Islam. And there were mystics there who had the experience, I am divine. These were the Sufis. They cultivated that experience. One of the first of the Sufis was a woman mystic, Rabia of Basra. She was the first to speak of divine love, of the rapture of love as being an infusion of divine power, and the experience of divine love as being all-absorbing. She says, "I so love God that I have no love left for man, no love left even for Muhammad. I am completely caught in God." And she used the imagery of the wine and the cup that has become so popular from Omar Khayyam. The cup is the body. The wine is divine love, which just fills it to overflowing. This idea was then developed, following her, by a great mystic called Bayazid. And he said, the wine and the drinker of the wine and the holder of the cup are one. I and divine love are one. And his disciple, Halaj, a great, great man, went so far as to say, I am God. Now that was what Christ had said. Christ, in a society that lived by the law and by the idea that God is not the world or in it, but its governor, Christ in that society was crucified for this. Similarly, Halaj. Halaj was crucified. But before his death, Halaj had said, this is a lovely image. The moth comes to a fire. He is fascinated by the flame. He flaps around it, and he goes back to his friends when dawn comes and tells them of the wonder of that experience. Then the next night, he goes to the flame, and he is burned to ashes in the flame, which is what he wanted. He has now become the flame. Why should he want to be a moth? And so in his own crucifixion, he recalled this image, and he prayed before the nails were driven in and said, O Lord, forgive them. They have not experienced what I have experienced. Otherwise, they would not be doing this. And if I had not experienced what I have experienced, I would not know thee.